First question is just, how are you doing? I mean, it's got to be enormously difficult and painful.
I'll let you go first.
Right now, we are going through, it's sort of an overused term, but I guess it's a bit cathartic.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've been fighting our way through this process really for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And we, up until fairly recently, really believed we could fight our way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there'd be another card to play. And we just eventually just ran out of cards to play. And in some ways, we've been operating in a kind of a limbo of uncertainty. But at least at this point, there is a process, and that process has an end date. And we know that on Saturday, March 10th, we'll be looking back at the outcome of the auction. Instead of looking ahead at it, and there's some comfort in that. There's also comfort in knowing that whoever puts in a successful bid at the auction will be coming in with a commitment to succeed. And by virtue of the fact that they are going to be the successful bidder, it will indicate that they have the resources to make that possible. And that gives us grounds for optimism.
Mm-hmm.
for this enterprise.
Right.
and for all the people who work here.
Mm-hmm.
That is our greatest hope, is that the business will continue, the brand continues, and that all the people who've put in so much hard work over many, many years are able to kind of embark on a new chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And participate in that.
What are you hearing from people in the community? You've played a leadership role there for a long time, and I imagine you've had a lot of people reaching out. And what are they saying?
Do you want to field that?
Oh gosh, well, the overwhelming, beautiful texts and phone calls and emails this mm-hmm. morning were. What we all live for. It's to be good friends and to be understood and to be loved and thought well of, and be recognized for your hard work and the good you've done. And we go to bed each night, you run through the list of the things that you didn't get done that day and what you have to do tomorrow, and personal for me, sort of falling short of those things. And then you hear such beautiful, kind things.
Good. Thank you. I think the disconnect for people, for the public, for myself even, is that Smutty Nose seemed to be thriving, from an outsider looking in. Can you help people understand how a well-loved business and brand can come to face this kind of challenge?
Yeah, I think, fundamentally, it really boils down to arithmetic. The whole kind of essence of entrepreneurship revolves around taking risks. And you take calculated risks. You don't take careless or ill-advised risks. And we believed, when we planned this facility and we built a budget for it and went out and secured financing for it, we had almost 20 years of good, solid growth under our belts. And we built financial models based on fairly conservative estimates of continued growth. And according to those financial models, we would be able to move into the new facility and pay our bills and have access to capacity for continued growth, because that was always a limitation at our old plant up in Portsmouth. And all the other things we wanted to do here was part of that plan. But underlying that was were assumptions, modest assumptions of growth. What we didn't see coming, I think there were two things, if just speaking in kind of broad brush strokes. One of which was the kind of overall slowdown in the growth of craft beer volume industry-wide. The other piece that we weren't able to take advantage of was the move in craft beer towards cans. We built this plant with a beautiful state-of-the-art bottling line. And even though most craft beer is still sold in bottles, where the growth is happening is all in cans.
And why is that, do you think?
I think, first of all, I think for younger consumers, cans don't have the kind of stigma that they have had traditionally for older consumers.
Yeah, the beer.
It's in the driving crazy. Yeah. It's not peanut dust. It actually is meaningful.
So I know it's hard to be reflective when you're in the middle of a storm, but was there a key moment where you knew things had taken a dangerous turn, you know, financially?
There have been a number of key moments, but I think the most recent moment for us was at the beginning of this past summer, when we had a lot of very healthy orders came in, and we were saying, okay, we're going to have a great summer. And then we realized that we didn't have the cash flow to produce all the beer that had been ordered. And we spent the rest of the summer basically shorting orders. And so it was a case of, you know, be careful what you wish for. We saw a pretty good upturn in sales, and that was the good news. Bad news was, at the time, we could do nothing about it. We weren't equipped to, you know, normally that seasonal ebb and flow is, you know, that's a cash flow management challenge anytime, but, you know, you normally muster the resources to just kind of muscle your way through that. But in this particular case, we couldn't. And that's probably, there have been a number of times when I've been set back on my heels, but that was a time when I really realized that just how profoundly, you know, what a deep hole we were in, put it that way. It was sobering, and it was frustrating to have, you know, healthy orders coming.